From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, I want to thank you for bringing us together as a church, as a family, as a denomination, and even as a mission. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for your faithful ones. I pray tonight you'll be gracious unto us. Continue to teach us, continue to admonish us, continue to bless our time of fellowship together. Lord, my prayer all the time is that you don't allow us to live the same as we came. Because when we go out there, we need your presence. We need the knowledge. We need the impartation to be able to live our lives out there to please you. Thank you that tonight we are not living the same. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may please be seated. Wow, we're glad to be here tonight. Amen. All right, he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So we're looking at that. We want to be people who have. You know, I don't think any one of us want to live a life of poverty, a life of lack. You don't have what you need, you don't have the, you know, the basic things you need to live a good life and an enjoyable life. I believe that God's plan for us, indeed, the Bible says that I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So God's plan for his people is that we prosper. Somebody say prosper. You are going to prosper. I said you are going to prosper. You are prospering already, in fact. And even though these confessions and these declarations are real, we still also have to do some things, some stuff. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. James 2:26 says that as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. So we want to learn and be strong so that the prosperity of God will be our portion. Because we cannot be the children of God and not be rich. Sometimes people serve God all their lives and they don't improve. People serve God all their life and they don't get better. We don't want to be people like that. What do you think? We don't want to be serving God all our lives, and then when people look at us, they rather say that we have been wasting our time in the church. Rather, no. The church must bring improvement into our lives. Hallelujah. I think Sunday night I made an announcement. I think it's appropriate to probably say it here also. We are. How many of you have been listening to messages? You listen to Bishop's message. See, we play the message so that it will whet your appetite. The messages are not for you to listen to it. If you want to listen to it, they're all over. Bishop has not been selfish at all. In fact, he has been a very good leader. He has provided all the messages. He makes sure that all the messages that he's preaching, they are all uploaded all over on the World Wide Web. That no matter where you are and if you are interested, you don't lack that food at all. So what we are trying to do is we are trying to kind of encourage you to be listening to Bishop. If you listen to Bishop, life will be far easier for you. I tell you. Yeah, last Sunday, you know, he was talking about some of the things that I was telling some of you about last Sunday night. In fact, the 2 minutes that I preached, you know. Because he goes to the Kodesh and he preaches. Is it that this church here is a church that I started 12 years ago. And the pride that we must have is that this church is expanding and is getting bigger with more branches. We must be proud about that. Are you with me? And the fact that I don't preach here Sunday morning again should not be a negative thing. It should rather be a positive thing that at least we can leave the church with the people that we have trained and brought up, and that things will still be well. Many pastors can't leave the church they are pastoring to anybody, you know. You should go around and ask. No. I know a pastor. He has a church in Babies. In fact, that was the first church he started. Over how many years ago? Every Sunday morning, he goes to Babies to preach. He has been doing that since I came to Guyana, even before I came to Guyana. He goes every Sunday morning to Babies, and then he comes Sunday afternoon to the one in Georgetown. What? He can't give it. I remember the last time I met him, we were talking about it. He said that, you know, when he started the Georgetown one, then the people in Babies were saying, hey, so you are going to leave us. The church members say that it's very serious. So you have to be a very strong leader to say, yes, I'm going to leave you. I said, no. Babies is my first love. How can I leave you? So it's almost as if he's made a statement that he cannot go against. But you cannot be traveling every Sunday, Babies. I mean, you can do it for the early days, but you can't be doing it for over 15 years. Why? Are you the only one God can use? That is what happened to Dr. Cho, you know. Do you know Dr. Cho's story? Yonggi Cho. The man with the largest church. I don't think he probably has the largest church anymore, but Yonggi Cho, that's what happened to him. He used to preach. And he would do everything by himself. Until God was trying to draw his attention that he is not the only one he wants to use. Now, I don't want to. You know what happened to him? He collapsed in the pulpit for several times. In fact, when he collapsed, he was one Sunday he was feeling so bad. He made them bring him in a wheelchair to come and preach. Because he says that he's Almighty Cho. If he doesn't preach, nobody can do it. So God decided to teach him a lesson. He was sick, bedridden for 10 years. 10 years. Can you imagine being sick for 10 years as a pastor? So now you can't go to church. Because God could not speak to him for him to hear and understand. So God decided to show him the hard way. He was bedridden with sickness for 10 years. It was in the 10 years that he learned to speak to people for the people to go and speak in different areas. That's how his home cell system started, where we all have learned the home cell system from. He was sick for 10 years. So in the 10 years now, he had to tell the people, when you go and preach about the love of God. So he will record his messages and he will give it to them. They go and listen to them. All of them will go and preach. And that's how his church began to grow. The church grew beyond his imagination. 10 years. The 10 years that he was sick, the church became larger. And after 10 years, God healed him. When he came, he said, me? He said, you start a branch. You go here. The women, all of you, home cell. Share. 750,000 people in his church, members of his church. So, you may not know or understand. You want Bishop to be here all the time. You want everything to be the same, but you didn't call us. You are not going to reward us or punish us. So as for you, you can say, you see, ask for a child always wants nice things, you know. So we have a bigger and a greater responsibility to do what God wants us to do. So when you see the changes that are going on, please let your love rather show. Bible says, let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and what? Stick to that which is good. Let your love be pure. If you love us, you should support us in what we are doing. No matter how not nice it may seem. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I'm hoping that the changes and the moves we are moving is very, very instrumental. Bishop was preaching at the Kodesh. You should go and listen to it. He's talking about how he said when he went to the Kodesh, they had pop-up stands of what? Welcome daddy, welcome to the. He said, when you go to this, he said they should remove all those things. Why are they welcoming him? It's his church. Where did you go that he has come back that he are welcoming? He said, this is my church. They told them to move everything. Welcome. Welcome what? Why are you trying to create the impression as if this is not my church? I am coming to visit. No. It's my church. He said, I am the pastor. Bishop Saki is my assistant. Bishop Eddie is the praise and worship leader. He said, we have just gone away to expand. It's because of expansion that has taken us away. It doesn't mean that this is not our church anymore. So if you are thinking that, oh, I've left this church and it's not my church, no, don't make a mistake, oh. You can ask Pastor Larry. You can ask other guys. When I come, I am more involved in this church than chief and chief. I tell you, it's true. You find me here at hours that day, oh, you find them here when I'm not the one pastoring here. Yeah. No. I am more concerned. Look, is the sound not better tonight? Yeah. I've been to. You should ask Reverend Cromwell, he will tell you. Even this one, you've not gotten all of it. Like you have seen, chip, you will see. Crisp. I don't think chief and chief really are concerned about the sound. After they broke the door at the back there and all of that. I am more, this church, I am more the pastor. They are my assistants. They are just helping me here. I can come back and preach anytime I want to come back and preach. Anytime. So don't let it make you feel like, oh, the church spoiling, the church bishop gone. No. It's new to you. That's why you're thinking like that. But we are trying to expand. Are you not happy that we have a base here in Georgetown and then we have a base here, we have a base here. Wherever you go, you see big churches. Shepherd House International. Ah. Because if you look at it, there's only one First Assembly. Their branches are not equal or even in a class. It's not good leadership. If you look at Bishop the Kodesh, he said the Kodesh now is a branch, and it's true. First Love, if you don't know, First Love has the capacity is more than the Kodesh. So if you see the Kodesh with all the thousands, you see the First Love with all the thousands, Bishop Saki with all the thousands, Bishop Eddie with all the thousands, if all of them were in one place, where would you have had all those thousands? So expansion is the key to growth. So if we don't, and is it what the reason, what made me take that decision? Is it was something that was on my heart since the beginning of 2017. As people were doing covenant Sunday, your covenant. I didn't make a covenant like that, but it started coming. It just, I felt something. You know, so when I came back from the consecration, they became strong. In fact, I spoke to Bishop Richard about it. That this is what I'm feeling. He said it's a good feeling, but you have to be careful because sometimes when you leave, the people, I said it's true. It has been, so when we met in Barbados for the pastor's conference, like, I said, you know, this thing is too much. I think I have to do it. He said, okay, then just go ahead and do it. So I even sought approval before I did what I'm doing, as a bishop. Imagine that, and you don't tell anybody anything. Yeah. And I believe that God wants to do something great in Guyana. That's why he's making us do what we are doing. Yeah. And you look at it. Why would I leave such a nice, glorious place? Sure, everybody wants prosperity. Everybody wants nice things. You can see the baller, the garbage where my church is at. Garbage all over the place. Every Sunday, there's a guy who we share the compound with. Every Sunday he gets drunk. and he comes into the yard. I'm sure if Goldfinger was there, he would have beaten him a long time. The guy comes into the yard and he begins to also preach a sermon. So as I'm preaching, he's walking back and forth in a compound and he's also preaching. This Sunday, I had to ask Ivana to go and organize a guy out of the compound. Every Sunday, he comes to do that. Why would I? Ricky, oh, lock him up. After this, just send Goldfinger already Sunday. We'll finish him. Yeah. I'm not trying to put together instruments. Speaker, this. I hope they don't tell me Hurricane Elmo. Yeah, try to not put together speaker, this, that. I don't have to do that here. Everything is already. Yeah. I have a nice air conditioned small room I use. There's no air condition there. Yeah. It's a hard, dry land. But my soul will follow hard after thee, even in a dry land. That's what I'm trying to show you. That even in dryness, we want to prove that we love God. It's not the flashiness of the thing, so. It is what really you have, what the mission that God has given you. So, you see, one of the things, so when I sat down, I realized that apart from this church, every church is 20, 30, 20, 30. And I feel bad about it. And so I felt that probably, I may be wrong, but probably, the only church that can catch up with this number here will be the one that I will leave and go and start. That's what I felt. And after your attendance here on a Sunday morning, Wales is the next highest so far. Yeah. All over the country. And we started just about 2 months ago. There's no other branch in Guyana that is more than us, apart from this one here. And you wait and see. You'll be surprised to come and see another 200. And then when I get vexed, I'll leave and move out again. Because maybe I feel that maybe I have something that can bring these big ones. So if I sit down one place and say, oh, I'm a bishop, and I'm a boo for bishop, and a bishop, and bishop, and bishop, then one day I'll go and God will say, hey, you, what do you do with a B for bishop? You were in East La Penitence enjoying Coca-Cola and things. Remove from in front of my face. And I'll say, oh Lord, I beg you. So you beg me out. So even if I'm wrong, you can't win more souls and be wrong. So you let me just be wrong in winning more souls. What do you think? Yeah, and I'm sure you are even fed up with me here. So let me go somewhere a little bit. So when I come, you miss me small. What do you think? Oh, child. So these were my reasons, you know, for taking the decision I took. It doesn't mean that I have forgotten about Hill. Where's Christopher? I came and I asked Christopher to weed the yard. Is it not me who came to tell you to weed the yard? And like nobody sees that the place is bushy. This is my church properly. Yeah. Cry. So if you think that I've left this church, I've not left though. Except that I cannot be in two places at the same time. You'd have seen me preaching and preaching in Wales at the same time. Thank you, Grace. So I'm here, cry. So we are just trying to expand. Somebody say expansion. How many of us believe in expansion? Hey, all of you believe in. Okay, so I'm in a good church. So what I've also decided to do is that, you see, there's a place where everybody comes together, like the family house. You know, Christmas time, holiday time, there's a location where everybody comes home, isn't it? Yeah. So the Tuesday meetings were originally, the concept of the Tuesday meeting is that every pastor, every leader, they come together in that place where the head of the organization is at to listen to his preaching. Because they are also church members. And then on Wednesdays or other weekdays, they go to their churches and then they preach. So that's what we've been doing for all these years. So I feel that from October, that we should switch. Since I'm preaching in Wales, I'm taking a Tuesday with me to Wales. Because where I am, that's where the Tuesday must be implemented. every other branch meets on Wednesdays. If you go to Wisma is Tuesday. Because they are Wednesday, they couldn't get a place on a Wednesday, so we allow them to do a Tuesday. Everybody else is a Wednesday. I think one or two places that are Tuesday. So that also, if I want to visit a church during the weekday, I can do that. It's not like everybody is Tuesday, so if I want to go somewhere on the evening, I don't have anywhere to go. So when I preach in Wales on Tuesday, I can come and be with you here on Wednesday if I like. It's even more. So I'm taking the Tuesday to Wales. So we are going to have the Tuesday service there, and then Georgetown will have their Wednesday weekday service. Hallelujah. Yeah. So from October, we won't come Tuesday evening anymore. We'll come Wednesday evening. I'm sure Chief and Chief will find something for Tuesday for some of you. So those who want to come to Wales, you are free to come. If you don't want to come, it's not a problem at all. But you are not forced. Don't think that anybody wants to force you to come to us at all. In fact, I prefer those who love me to be around me, not those who we are forcing to come. Who wants people who are forced to be around them? No. So I'm in Wales on Tuesday. We have a small, humble place. Do we even have a toilet where we? I don't think we even have a toilet. We have a toilet without a water tank. So when you do everything, when you go there, we take a bucket and go and flush. I hope you use that. If you don't use that, you have to carry it home. That's the toilet we have. We don't have this fancy two-seater system you have there. We have one-seater for everybody. And there's no water tank. So it's just the thing so when you do, you finish. When you go, we flush before you come. But we can only flush when you go. So we beg you, when you come, that's where the bishop has moved to. I just have a small space that I sit for my meetings. That's all. No chairs, no fancy chairs. Plastic chairs I use. I don't mind. I don't mind at all. No air condition. I borrow somebody's fan every Sunday. I go and beg them, say, please, can I have your fan? Because the place is hot. So that as I'm having my meeting, I'll get a little breeze. If you find we don't have fan in the place. So I hope Sunday when I go, they won't say no. They will say yes and give me their fan. But when I'm here, free fun. Yeah. Why would I make a decision like that, Andriska? It's because in a dry land, our soul will still follow after God. We came here to work. We didn't come here to finish our race. We didn't finish yet. I said, we didn't finish yet. So please understand the switch. So in the first Sunday, first Tuesday in October, that's what, the 3rd of October, we're going to have Tuesday service in Wales. So we want to give the people there the opportunity also to come together and all of that. If you want to come, please feel free. If you don't want to come, that's fine. Wednesday, Chief and Chief will meet you here. Very powerful twin brothers. Yeah, twin brothers, they will minister powerfully to you. And then Thursday, you have what you need to have. So that's what we're moving forward. Yes. I said we are moving forward. Yes. Changes are good. Yeah, changes are good. If you don't change things, you never even know who those who really, really love you. That is why in marriage, love is a key, because when you marry, you change. Things change in the marriage. The way you find a lady when she's 20, when she's 22, her body structure, everything. It's not the same when she's 45. It's not the same at all. And you will have to love the 45 body and everything also. As in the 22, because it's not, you didn't come because of something. If it's love, then love doesn't look at the outward and all those things. People develop sickness and diseases in marriages. A time will come, somebody might not even be able to walk. What do you do? You can't go and leave them. That's where love is very important. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing here. It takes love to be in the ministry and to follow God. Hallelujah. But we're looking at he that hath, isn't it? And 2 Peter chapter 1, Bible says, Peter says that, and add to what? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the scripture that Jesus, the statement that Jesus made about he that hath, somebody was saying that they don't understand the message. I think somebody was giving a message, the he that hath, and they said they couldn't understand it at all. What we are basically saying is that Jesus says that you can only increase and have more of whatever is needed or necessary in your life if you have more of it. And there are people who will not have anything, or even the little they have, they will lose it. And we are looking at how come somebody who has more is going to get more, even more? And how come somebody who doesn't have is a person who is not being given anything? That's what we are looking at. In the church, the people who, there are some Christians who come to church who feel that the church will here to help poor people. The church is not here to help poor people as our primary responsibility. There are times where there will be some things to, you know, to do where poor people are concerned. But the church's main responsibility and role is to lead people to God. The church's main role is to take care of those who have decided to follow God until they go to heaven. One day, one gentleman was describing his work. Somebody asked him what he does, and he says, his work is very, very, very intense and very, very important and very, very serious. He said, okay, so what work do you do? He said, in my work, we take care of babies until they die. We take care of people from when they are born until when they are dead. Yeah. So the discussion went on until finally he told the person that and the organization I work for is called the church. Because when you say you're a pastor, people think that you're a pastor. But if you look at the work of a pastor, because you bring your baby, you say we should dedicate your baby. And your baby will come walking around the church. Before you realize, they go to primary school. Before you realize, children's service. Before you realize, it's safe church. Before you realize, they say they finish CXC. Before you realize, they say they are working. And then they are in the church. Before you realize, they say they want to get married. That's the pastor takes care of people from infancy to the time that they are dead. It's a very, very important job. Yeah, there's nobody in this world who does that kind of work. Are you there? So we don't necessarily have to feed or give anything to the poor. What I can give to the poor is to preach and encourage the person who is poor to do the right things to be rich. Because there are things you need to do to rise up and be somebody. But to give you, even they have proverbs, they have words that they use in this world. They say that it is better to show somebody how to catch a fish than to give him a fish. Is that what they say? Yeah. So what it means is that if you don't have something, I rather show you how to get that thing rather than find it and give it to you. You will never try and find it when you need one. So that is what Jesus, that's what we are trying to do here in the church now. What we are preaching is that there are some people who have more money. There are some people who are more spiritual. There are some people who have things. There are people who are prospering. And those people seem to be prospering all the time. If you are called Gafor, you probably will never be poor in your life. Because Gafor continues to prosper and prosper and prosper. They're getting big, they have lands, they have all kinds of things. But let's say if your name is some name from some place, it's punishment. So that's why they say something in my local tongue from where I was born. They say, when you are born on a hill, it doesn't take long for you to become tall. Yeah, already you have something to stand on. When you are born on flat land, oh Lord.
Are you following? So if you are born on a hill, I said if you are born on a hill, then it means that by the time you start walking and standing, you're already above. And when you are not born on a hill, hey, to even become high as the hill and then to catch up. No. It's the same way when we say that, you know, when you come from a family that is rich, you don't have to really, you know, do so much to become rich. It's just an inheritance. But God is teaching us that people who get rich, who increase in things and prosper and do well, they are doing things. If you see Bishop Dagoe moving around and preaching and teaching and moving and books, Macarius 2, and then he's becoming more known and more influential in the world. He's doing things. He's not sitting now in Ghana saying that I'm a bishop and this and that, so everything must happen. No. So people who don't do well is because there are some negative things they possess. And people who do well, they have positive traits and characters. So we are looking at what Peter wrote here, and we are taking that one by one, and we are taking it through. So he says we should add some things. We should add. It's like when you are cooking, when you put you put water in a pot. You can't make food with water in a pot. Who makes food with water in a pot? No, you have to put in something. Even if it's shine rice, you need the rice to go inside. Then you need a shine. What makes the shine must also come inside. And you have to bring in aisle. Is it aisle? Even an aisle, you have to know the right aisle to bring inside. You don't put in engine oil. Not kerosene. No transmission aisle. You bring in some olive oil, or you bring in some vegetable oil, or some kind of oil. Then before you realize that the rice is becoming shine. Then we call it shine rice. Some people say, I can cook egg and rice. I say, so how do you make it? They say, oh, I fry the egg and I put, I boil the rice and I fry egg and I put it and I stir it and I have egg and rice. Yeah, that's a very powerful cooking. But you cannot have a meal if you don't add ingredients upon ingredients. So in the same way, as a Christian, you cannot be complete and you cannot be that successful if you are not going to add. So we've added diligence. We've spoken about diligence. Now we are almost finishing faith. So the last thing we're dealing with, I think the next thing we're dealing with is faith. And we are saying that the person who has more of whatever we are thinking or our eyes are on has faith. Isn't it? We've done a few things. I think we left it at number 4, isn't it? So number 5, we're saying that we left that vision. That he that hath makes a person. Faith is a personal trait that makes a person what? A visionary. If you're a visionary, hey, you will do well. Because a visionary sees things when people have not seen it. Number 5 says, faith is a personal trait that makes a person no longer a fool. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Fools don't prosper. Fools don't do well. There's nothing that a foolish person does that does well. The Bible says, fools despise wisdom. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. To believe that there's God is faith. You need faith to believe that there's God. And once you believe that there is God, you see, it makes you do things differently. There's a difference between the person who believes there's a God and the person who believes there's no God. If you don't believe there's a God, you do things anyhow. But if you believe there's a God, you don't do things just anyhow. You're very conscious. Cain and Abel explains some of these things. When they went to offer their sacrifice, somehow Abel had knowledge about God. More than Cain. Because Cain just brought some bora and some kalaloo. Whereas Abel
for whatever reason, brought an alive animal. A live one. And took everything and then sacrificed the animal. Somehow, he had knowledge about God. He believed in a God who was interested in blood, in life, in sacrifice. Because what if you give somebody kalalu, there's no sacrifice in it. The Bible says in all things are purged by blood in Hebrews 9:22. So Abel did something that God was happy with. You see, because he believed. It's only the fool. You see, it's only the fool who come to church and think that God is only here in the church, and when you leave the church, God is no more with you. It's only a fool who think that. It's only a fool who look to the right and look to the left and take something that doesn't belong to them because they think that nobody is watching. God is watching. That's what makes the person a fool. If you go into the scriptures, there is nothing positive associated with fools. The Bible says a foolish wife destroys her own house. Foolishness destroys. Foolishness makes things go down and not up. Foolishness does not make people prosper. Otherwise, all of us would have chased after foolishness. But there's nothing that comes or there's nothing that is added to your life when somebody is foolish. So when you have faith, it takes away the foolishness that otherwise will make you do foolish things and destroy your life and not do well. Why will you destroy your own life if you are not foolish? You can go to the Bible and do a concordance. Just query, search for foolish and foolishness. Every wise woman builds her house. Is he that hath? He that hath builds. But the foolish plucketh it down with her, not even contractor, with their own hands. You see, the difference between the two women is that one is wise, one is foolish. And the Bible says foolishness is when somebody does not believe in God or says that there is no God. You look at it. And most of the time, we find ourselves in what? The fool has said in his heart, okay, that's one. There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There's no foolish person that does anything good. So sometimes you ask yourself, am I being foolish? Because foolishness will make you decrease. Foolishness will make you decrease in happiness. It will make you decrease in money. Look at people who just take money. If you work and they pay you and you take your money, you go to the beer bar, you go to where they drink and then drink it out. Are you wise? You're foolish. It means that the next day, there's no money. So you cannot be a person who we can say he hath and he will have more. No, you rather are the person who does not have. So think about it. Are you engaged in something that is deteriorating? Bring me that foolish woman and whatever woman. Bless you. Let's use this as a case study. Anita McLean. The wise woman. Because anybody who is wise is somebody who believes that there's a God. Because the Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of God means that you are aware and you are conscious that there is a God. But the fool says in his heart that there's no God. That's why he goes down and down and down. So I'm saying here, as we are dealing with adding faith, and that faith people move forward,
Because faith people move forward and they build. Things are built because of the faith. Because the faith makes them develop wisdom. But if you look at the people who don't have, they are people who operate in foolishness. Because even when you are foolish, you destroy things. You don't even know that you are destroying them. Yeah, no, people have been foolish. They don't even realize that they are foolish. And I'm not, you see, don't look at your beauty or your handsomeness and say you are not foolish. Oh. Check whether if you are in something, the thing is going down. That's a sign of being foolish or wise. Jesus said, if you hear my word and you do it, I will liken you to a wise man, isn't it? Who built his house upon the rock. There's nothing positive about foolishness. There's nothing progressive about foolishness. Anytime you do something and it takes something away from you and it takes you down, if you know that you are going down, it means that you are exercising foolishness. It is because you are operating in the absence of the awareness of God. Why would you break down your own house? Because you're foolish. Because you don't understand that it is God who even has given you what you have. Because if you understand that even where you are sitting is God who has given to you, you will say, oh, front seat. What's front seat? I can sit at the back. In fact, the back, I even feel freer at the back. Have you forgotten that there was a time where even the front, if you come there, we will consciously remove you. Goldfinger will remove you. But now it's like, if you're not sitting in front, it's almost like something is wrong. It's God who gave you your position. So there is the lack of the awareness of God that makes a foolish person destroy something that is God who has given to him. Yeah. Those who say bad things and want to do things to the church, they are fools. Yeah. This is the place where you come and you are being preached to, you are being prayed for, you get inspiration and all of that. Why would you want to? Why? They gotta be foolishness. And if you operate in foolishness, you never have friends, you know. If you have friends, it means that all of them are fools too. Because birds of the same feather, isn't it? So, when you add faith to your life, you move away from foolishness. If you don't have faith, excuse me, sister, you're a fool. Think about it. There are some things that we might go through that God is very, very much aware of it. But he can easily fight that thing and dislike those things. Because, you see, you lack the brains to believe that God is inside this thing. God is in everything, whether good or bad. The Bible says all things work together for good. Good, all things. When you say all things are not good. All things have bad, good and bad and ugly inside. But at the end of the day, if God is inside, all the good, the bad and ugly will work together for your good. It is only a fool who gives up. As a Christian, who gives up? Who gives up? It's only a fool who gives up, because a fool now does not acknowledge that God is there and God is able to change situations and God can do something for you. The foolish person says in his heart that there's no God. And when you give up, you're acting as a fool. Because if you know that there's a God, if you know that that God is on your side, then you will not give up. You will not give up. It takes us into even the last, number six. It's number five or number six. It says that faith is the personal trait that pleases God the most. When you act in foolishness, you don't please God. Remember, we are saying that it is a person who says in his heart that there's no God who is a fool. But the next point is also saying that without faith, it is impossible. Hebrews 11 says, it is impossible to please him. So when you are foolish, you make God angry with you. And when you have faith, you make God happy with you. And Bishop writes a few things that I think is very, very important to just read directly from the book. He says, somehow, without faith, it is impossible to make God happy with you. And if God is not happy with you, he will not give you anything. Even you and I will not give things to our children that we are not happy with. Some of our children, it's just because you can't drive them out of the house. That's why they are still in the house. Yeah, it's just because they are underage, and if you drive them out, you know that not, that's why they are still in the house. The only reason. Because they have not pleased you. So, if you don't please God, or as a Franklin, if you don't please God, you can be coming to church and you'll be the church. Your name can even be changed to church. You can call yourself Michelle Church. Odessa Church. It won't change anything. Somehow, when you don't acknowledge God, God is not happy with you. And when God is not happy with you, he doesn't give you anything. Even Santa Claus, if you misbehave when it comes Christmas, he doesn't give you anything. Yeah, it's not what they tell us. That you, if you are naughty, Santa Claus doesn't give you anything. Yeah. So I don't know how many of you are expecting presents at Christmas. You have to check whether you have been good. Shall we? Yeah. Because if you are naughty, you pass you by. You go to the friend, your neighbor that you play with, and give your neighbor a nice package on Christmas morning. And you'll be standing there, your face torn up, and nothing from Santa Claus or Father Christmas. Huh? Are you following what we're trying to say? So, if you say there's no God, it makes you a fool. And then if you say there's no God, you make God unhappy. God is not pleased with you. And when God is not pleased with you, you cannot receive anything so that you increase or you get better. So he that hath is rewarded by virtue of the person's faith. Because once the person exercises faith and has faith, the person pleases God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. Hey, from time to time, from A to Z, from when we knew things and we didn't know things till now, he's God. Yeah. There's nothing that he doesn't know. And there's nothing that he doesn't see. He's there. Just like you go to your house and see your house, God is even more there than your house that you see. His eyes are watching you. God is watching you, Bia. He sees you clearly. That's why the Bible says it's only a fool. You see, if God is real and God is there and God exists, then God expects you to be positive. You need to be positive. You will not please God if you are not positive. I'm sorry that some of you say negative things too much. You say too much negative things. If God is alive, if God is there, if God is your God, if you are God's child, where is that negative statement coming from? Why are you talking like that? Why are you speaking like that? He must be positive. Even when the thing doesn't look positive, you must say positive. That is our problem. The problem is that when we see the negative, we fail to see the positive out of the negative. And that is the lack of faith. I'm telling you here that we don't have a toilet. We have a toilet, but we don't have a tank. Now, you better don't wake up in the morning and go and eat something that will not mix with your stomach in Wales. Hey, I beg you. Hey, at least here you can go and lock yourself up, right? Yeah. But well, why will we subject ourselves? At Pastor Calvin's place, there's nothing. I hope they are not digging holes and doing things inside there. That's nothing. Why would you subject yourself to that? That is what shows your faith in the dry land. It is impossible to please him without faith. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is. And he's not just only in places that are nice and looking good. He's everywhere. You must be positive. Do you know somebody who has a lot of negative? You see, when you have a lot of negative, God doesn't do anything for you. God doesn't do anything for you. God doesn't work with negative people. God doesn't work with people who have bad minds. You're always saying something negative. There's always something wrong. There's always something bad. There's always some complaint. There's always some memory. There's always something that you always say something dissatisfied. That there's never a moment where you say something positive. Let's be serious. If we have God, then we are the ones who should face difficult things and be able to still be positive. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you must be positive. Look at some of the things that Apostle Paul went through. One of the things that, if you analyze, it doesn't make sense is Stephen. In the book of Acts, Stephen was stoned. Anita, who is so foolish to stand there for people to stone him? Nobody. How can you be called Stephen? Powerful preacher. And people are taking off their clothes. They are taking stones and shying you with a stone. And then you are standing there, you go on your knees and you are praying to God in heaven. Something wrong with you, buddy. The natural reaction is to run. You run and then let them catch up with you or something. Bible says Stephen didn't run. Because even in his stoning, he was still positive. The Bible says that was one of the moments the Bible recorded that his eyes were open and he saw Jesus seated on the right hand side of God. That's one of the moments that he saw. To me, as he submitted and subjected himself to this stoning, he even left his body and he went into the spirit. So as they were stoning him, he wasn't feeling it. It was just some container that they were just throwing stones at. Because he was already captivated in the spirit. And you see, the Bible says, if you dwell in the spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So as you are in the spirit, the flesh doesn't mean anything to you anymore. But if it was some of us that they were stoning, you even wonder whether Jesus is alive. Why do you allow them to stone me? Be positive. We are positive. All the decisions we are making, we are taking Tuesday service here, I am moving here. It's all positive steps.
We are not thinking about the few, three, four negative people who are saying negative things. So our positiveness and our faith is more stronger, and it overshadows the little, little negative things that are going on. I tell you. We are positive that God will build this church. I mean, as we are going and coming, God is going to increase this church more. I tell you. He said it already, and he will do it. No matter how long it takes, he will come. I rather take God's word. If God tells me he'll come at 10 o'clock, I rather take it than when your boss or anybody else tells me they'll come at 10 o'clock. I will take God's 10 o'clock than your 10 o'clock. Because you can easily call and say, you're sorry, something came up. You can't make it. But God never fails. The Bible says, in his own time, he makes things beautiful. That is what will make me positive, because there's no scripture in the Bible that should make anybody pessimistic, that should make anybody discouraged about tomorrow or the future. Even though you may not see the thing right now as it is, but that is what faith is about. Faith is seeing the best out of things when they don't look best. That's faith. What are we talking about? It's faith we are talking about, man. Yeah. Some of you are worrying about husband, worrying about wife. Who is going to choose me? Who is going to marry me? Hey, if you're going to be negative, nobody will marry you. That's final. You have to go and put yourself on somebody. Push yourself on somebody. Let them make your stomach big, and then that's it. Nobody will marry you, because you never say anything positive. You never believe that God has you. You are in God's book. God's book. He says that when you give your life to him, he writes your name in the book of life. He knows your name. He knows your number. And he has never forgotten you. And he will never forget you. Don't sit down and be negative and make it sound as if God is not alive. Be positive. Because Jesus is Lord. He's on the throne. He's the one who gives us all good things to enjoy. He's there. He's watching you. He's watching me. He is so much involved in our lives, more than you even know. Yes. Yes. Why are you going to be negative? Why should you be negative? That's why I say, you see, sometimes people ask the question, oh, so if you're in an abusive relationship, should you divorce or not? If your husband is beating you, unless your wife is beating you. I mean, of course, nobody wants any man to be beating any woman. But you see, even in that, I will rather stay positive. And if you're a wife like that here tonight, I'm telling you, take that your husband to God's court. Someone, let God bring summons to that man. He will never touch you again. But if you are going to stay negative. So, well, no, I'm not foolish. I'm not going to let anybody lay their hands on me. What's this? No, I will encourage you, take the man to court. Yeah. Put your stomach down for 3 days and say, God, this is not what you promised me in your word. This thing got to go. You see, your husband will be there and you'll be foaming in the mouth and say, help me, I'm dying. You say, you are dying? You will die right there. But you see, we are not positive. We don't exercise faith. And without that faith, we can't please him. And if we can't please him, we lose things. Because if you don't have faith, you lose your husband, or you lose your wife, or you lose your job. You lose your happiness. People who are depressed are people who do not remember. People who go through depressions are people who don't remember God. That's why you can sit down there and you prop in sorrow like that. Because you are forgetting that he is. He is. He is. He's not he was. He is. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is. Yeah. Job said, my Redeemer lives. He said, my Redeemer lives. Oh,
I'm not going to allow this. Paul said, even though our outward faded, he said, our inward man is renewed day by day. He said, we are not pressed but not crushed. He said, well, you know the song, I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not that. You know the song? It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. How many of us will be troubled on every side and you will not even kill yourself? He said, we are yet not distressed because I know he is. Some of you can be too negative, you know. We are perplexed, but not in despair. 9. Persecuted.
But we know we are not forsaking.
Is that not positive? How can you be persecuted and still, he said, cast down but not destroyed? It's like a tree is bent, but it's not broken off. You gotta stay positive, ladies and you got to stay positive. If you are going to please God, you got to stay positive and know and believe and be convinced that he is. He is. He is. No matter the rain, no matter the sun, no matter the snow, no matter the conditions, no matter the sorrow, no matter the act, no matter the things that you experience, he is. And he's on his throne. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. Anybody like that? Do you know anybody who can count the number of hairs on your head? Is your grandmother that smart? Yeah, don't even know. You know our own. And he tells us, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. How many of us don't worry about tomorrow? That's why we don't give offering. Because when you calculate, hey, a little $1,000. What gonna happen tomorrow? I gotta go to school. I gotta buy things, rushing for me children and things. You see, you don't believe that he is, and that's why people like that don't increase. That's why people like that do not become he that hath, because you don't have faith and you don't please him. So he's also sitting now quietly, watching you. Say, okay, your $1,000 is your last. You try there. You are not opening up for him to do something exceedingly abundantly and above all for you. Be positive.
I believe I'm speaking to somebody here tonight.
You need to think correctly. You need to think correctly. Don't think foolishly as a Christian. All is not lost. Who told you all is lost? Who told you there's no hope? Who told you that's the end of it? Who told you? Think correctly. Think correctly.
I'm not feeling happy today. Miss Spirit, something. Your spirit, tell your spirit to behave itself. Say, Spirit, behave yourself. Lay hands on yourself. Say, Spirit. Be happy. Rejoice. That's what David said. Oh my soul. Why? Oh my soul, do you not know? Have you not heard? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not his benefits. Forget not benefits, beneficiary. You are a beneficiary of God's goodness in Jesus' name.
Think correctly, and you need to expect positive things if you are to please God. You see, pleasing God is the key to becoming he that hath. You can never forget Rahab the harlot. Do you know Rahab the harlot? The harlot from Jericho, who had clients, not man, woman,
Not even a dangle. Not man, woman. Whining till she weary. He's the founder of Wine Till You Weary Company Limited. The other one, I won't say it. She used to play Dolly House. Why do you wear it? Company Incorporated. Jericho. Her apartment was right by the walls. So she sees anybody entering. So she can go for the kill as early as possible. Yeah. Sharp. Neutralize effects. This woman had no right to be listed among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. As she is. If you think about Abraham, where is Rahab the harlot? Why will a dangle, why will God put a dangle? You see, please go up a little bit. Will you go up? We'll come to 31. But go to like, what, 25, 26? Somewhere there. Let's see. Okay, go 26. That's Moses he's talking about here. Esteeming great. Okay, 27. He says what? By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, isn't it? 28. Through faith, Moses kept the Passover. Passover and the sprinkling of blood is more holy than dangolo. Please go ahead. It's more holy than sexy panties and jeans string and then whining to you worry. Blood and this is two completely different. Please go on. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed. No, maybe you should go earlier. Go to 16 there. 4:10. Don't worry about that. Let's start from 3, 4. 3. Go earlier. Go. Who's that? Hey, hello. Yeah. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. People are killing sheep and they are burning it for smell and scent to go up aroma. You are talking about G-string? Push-up brazier? Please go on. Verse 5. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Many people don't think about Enoch, but he was one of the people who never died. Like Elijah. He didn't die. We are talking about he believed in God so much that he death could not touch his body. You're talking about Bumsy? Verse 6. By faith, Noah. So you're looking at Abel. You're looking at who? Enoch. You're looking at Noah. The man who saved the world. The few people in the world. 8. By faith, Father Abraham. So what you should imagine is that there's a line. And you see Abel. You see Noah. You see Moses. You see Abraham. The Enoch. There's no woman inside though. Then, as she's even standing, like she can't stand still, right? She can't stand quiet. She's just standing there, and then you are wondering, you are even hoping that she doesn't talk to Father Abraham and say, "Hey, Abraham." Nine. Who is that? Yes, he's a John. 10. He looked. 11. Through faith also Sarah received strength, because people are receiving strength at the age of 90 to receive babies. Rahab,
baby, whatever, my baby. Went to the abortion clinic just the other day to come back. He said, baby, whatever, my baby. Condom got bust. Something happened. Rehab, he said, baby. Rehab's baby, she can't talk about the baby. No, she ain't got time to look after baby. You want to spoil her business? No way. Baby, gotta go. 12. 13. This all died in faith. 14. 15. 31. A very odd lineup. That's the thing. How can, and you know, the Dangles and do this, they do you know, I think it was Lady Pastor Abigail told me, I think Mr. Joe Rankin was saying that those who put white powder on their chest, it's a sign of Dangleism. The Dangles used to behave like that, no? You put one at the back here and at the chest. It's like, come and smell my breast. You didn't know? You know, think you didn't know. That's some of you young people, you put powder here and you're walking on the road like that. It's Dangles who behave like that. They want to pick a fare. That's a sign that I'm a Dangle. Come. Yeah. Yeah. By how can such a woman have faith? And you are sitting down here, you don't have faith. Excuse me. I said, how can Rahab have faith? And you need some licks right now in the church. Somebody who was out, an outcast, was brought inside. How much more you who's already inside? You don't have faith. You lost your job, and so what? You've been looking for a job for a long time, and so what? You are growing old, and there's nobody in the church who's come approaching you, and so what? And so what? You're going to bring somebody from outside? Is that what your faith is going to make you do? If I can't get one inside, I better go outside and pick one and bring him to church and convert him. And I said, when you go, bishop will do altar call, must go, right? So that you know that you are born again, okay? And that's what your faith is going to do for you. Oh, bishop, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink. He goes to St. George's Cathedral. He goes to a Catholic church. He's an altar man. By faith, the Bible, you see, the Bible did not even take away. And Rahab the harlot, when we go to heaven, we'll see her. And the name harlot will never die where Rahab is concerned. If God is going to show you, you say, oh, that's Rahab the harlot. Who wants to be identified with that kind of thing, even in the Bible? At least God, as you were putting her name, why didn't you take away the harlot and just say, by faith, Rahab perish not. Sister Rahab. Rather. Because she's not turned a sister, because she has faith. No, Rahab the harlot. The harlot. In fact, the harlot is the first one that comes there. The harlot, to describe the type of woman. A harlot, Rahab. Perish not with them that believe not. Look at that. Those who don't believe, they perish. Those who don't believe, they become nothing. Those who believe, they become stronger. They grow stronger. Their names are written among people that they don't even imagine their names will be on such a list. Hey. Please believe. If there's anything I will encourage you to do from this series, is to have faith. She received the spies.
She believed that what they were doing was true, was right. She didn't see when they were coming to take over the city. She didn't know that they would come and they would march around the walls 7 days, and the 7 days, seven times, and the walls would break and Joshua would come in and they would kill everybody and all of that. She didn't understand all of that. She believed. So when the spies came into her business place, she said, as for here, men come here all the time. So it's not a problem. Yeah. Allow them to go into, you know, there was a room that he would normally take the special guys. Yeah, those who pay a lot. He takes them a little to the inner chamber. He said, let me take you to the inner chamber. This one is a special place. It's for my special clients. Diplomat session. Took them there. The people came. And they said, hey, we heard the people came here. I said, yeah. You know, people come here and leave all the time. Yes, they came. They did whatever they wanted to do. It was very good, but they just left. And then the people rushed out. Then Rahab made them go out of the window, outside the wall. They beat out. They promised Rahab. They said, leave the rope you gave us to go through the window. Let the rope be there so we will recognize your house when we come. All of that she believed. She didn't say, you sure? For truth? You promise me? You're going to come? You sure? Yeah, this place is going to get spoiled? You sure? No. She believed. And she survived. May you survive as you believe. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet, please. Wow. Rahab the harlotry. You and I are, we say we are better than Rahab, but maybe you should look at it. When it comes to the things of God, really, we may not be better than Rahab. I say we may not be better than Rahab. But even if you were Rahab, it would have been good though. Because your name will be written among some high. I'm sure. God is telling us that when you come to heaven and you see some white bearded man at a very major, mighty place, you see a woman that you will say, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, have you forgotten your Bible? It's Harlot Rahab. You ask yourself, why is Harlot Rahab at such a place? And me, Holy Sister Mary, I am here at this bottom place. Because you don't have faith, that's why. And without faith, you have not pleased God. Your story is not commendable in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you thank God tonight? Oh, his words are so sweet. David said they are like honey to my mouth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank Jesus tonight. Thank God tonight. Thank you for his kindness and his mercy. And the things he's opened up to you. Pray and cast out any foolishness, any acts that makes you appear as if there's no God. As God, the Lord help me. Lere be soto do moko borio mo soto do bo. Randere me kabra sa tara bala baba ba. Rakatara mana ma keri ebe sete berebe. Rama mama 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 sita bala baba. Rakatara ma kabrede. Rara ba sita bala bala ba. Rebere bere ya bala baba. Roso to bolo 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 bo. Robolo bolo bolo bo. Rasa tara bala baba. Rasete berebe. Kabra sata baraba kababa, ramala balaba sita berebe, randereme, rabala baba, rasata baraba baba baba, rasata baraba baba ki berebe sete berebe, resete berebe kabra sata baraba kabra baba, ramala balaba sita berebe. Thank you for faith, thank you for faith. Reke borobo sata baraba baba, baraba sita baraba baba baraba saparaba, reke berebe sete beriya baba. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you for faith, O God. In the name of Jesus. Maybe as you are listening to me right now, you know deep down in your heart, that you are not born again. You know deep down in your heart that you are not saved. If you were to die right now, will you go to heaven or hell? It takes faith. It takes believing in Jesus to go to heaven. You want to pray this prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me and I believe God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer, I am saved from hell. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.